three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From the beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Steph.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. Recording this at, well, about 12 midnight on the East Coast. We've just finished game three. Watching that was exciting. Joseph Corey is my name from Stats Perform, and I'm joined by
Andrew Kenyon, the fan man in the street.
That's right. Still fan man in the street. Fan man in the street in the sports media minnow. I could see it on a t-shirt, maybe a bumper sticker. That's it. The season is a wrap. Like, this is it. That was it. Quarterized with the trophy ceremony. Yep.
And everybody is happy, except for a few Perth Wildcats players and fans.
Wow.
But everybody else is happy that the season is finished.
Wildcat fans, here's what I'd say. Even to the feminine Wildcat fans, I'd say shoulders back, take it on the chin, be a man or woman. Both are as gallant and brave as each other, but take it on the chin. Yep. You lost. You lost fair and square. It happens. There's no asterisk here. There's no footnote. This is a loss. It happened.
Yep. You've won plenty of them. You can take a loss from time to time. It makes the competition more interesting.
My question for you, we're going to jump straight into this game three. When the final buzzer sounded and the whole celebration went on and the trophy went up, what were you feeling in that moment, Andrew Kenny? Because this is your first year covering this whole season, doing this podcast. When it finally just bang, the door slammed shut, what'd you feel?
It was like a big, we made it. We got there. I watched hundreds of games. I can literally say that because I think I've watched virtually almost all of them. Which is crazy to think about all the time that I've wasted on that. Don't tell my kids. I should be playing Lego with them, not watching basketball. But no, it was good. It was good to see the happiness of the players. It almost seemed a little bit subdued, the celebration. Didn't seem as pumped as I thought it might have been.
It was
kind of happy, but it didn't come across in the telecast, maybe.
And I think that's because of that Perth thing and the suicide comment. I felt that the sound effects mics on the crowd were turned way down because the crowd was pumping. And I was on it because I worked on this one. I did a report for Brisbane Times and a few other places. So I got paid to cover this one. So money's in the bank.
Right, the monthly Patreon's coming to me this month, right? You've already gotten paid.
So I was like, you know what? I was like, come on, game four. I didn't care. I won the money. So I enjoyed it, but I was like, hang on, where are the effects on this one? Because Landau hit that turnaround. I was like, that seems a bit muted. So I'd say they've been told effects mics down, and I want them on the players' lapels rather than where they were. In RSA Arena for that occasion.
No, that makes sense.
But in answer to my own question, one moment, I was clipping up the game and writing a script and whatever else, but I still felt exactly like you. I thought, this is a fitting end to this season. A team that was heavily touted, carried on, had the Jack White injury. That was an upset. And then pretty much carried on without traveling a great deal and then won. So, you know, were there ups and downs to this season? I mean, Perth won the NBL Cup and a few other things, but ultimately it was a season that just played out. When Larry Kesselman got up and spoke, I was like, how did we get through a season? How did this happen with crowds? How did this – I mean, it wasn't huge crowds and whatever else, but
– Can I ask you, you talk about Larry Kesselman. We're going backwards here, but what did you make of his speech?
When he spoke, I thought he sounded tired.
Yeah. The
lethargic.
Whole tone, the tone of it, though, just seemed a little odd. It was just a bit like, well, we got through it. Yay. Good job, us. Like, it didn't seem, there was no like, what an amazing, usually you'd expect to hear, what an impressive final series, you know, two teams battling away. It was great to see. Extra competitive season, yada, yada. And this was just like, we did it. We're still going to be here. You know, no, COVID's not going to beat us, and we'll beat it again next year.
And he focused on, and a lot of it was like, we took a hit this year. You could see he took a toll on him financially. Mm. It yep. seemed to take a toll on him physically. He was doing that speech. He was like us. He was like, we got to the end. All yep. we wanted to do was get to the end. And I think, yeah, he looked tired to me.
It almost seems like looking at him, he seemed run down by the experience and looks gaunt and sort of looks like he's heading down the Jack Bendat approach to life. Give it another couple of years.
Well, he's selling as well.
And then you see Jeremy Loliger, who's looking like, you know, he's got the tan jacket. He's he's looking quite chuffy, you know, like, oh, happy and ready to go and spoke Loliger well.
Loliger was up there. Well, what a season. He's got a Bruce McAvaney way about it. What a season. Very pleased to be here. And to Melbourne United and to Perth Wildcats. I thought he was a little bit pat in his speech, but he spoke well and looked great, looked the part, certainly. I mean, this season, what have we learned from this season? Before we get onto the game, like what are the overarching themes from this season, if it was a book or a film, you know? And do you want time to think and I'll give my own answer?
No, I can give you one straight away.
Bang, do it.
Sometimes a novella is actually better than a novel.
I like short is better than long.
Yeah. Well, too much of a good thing.
Exactly. I thought that was definitely, we learned, okay, we've found a sweet spot in the schedule. It also showed me that basketball was trending. The shorter season was right. The shorter minutes is right. The top man, if any, there was a lingering question of should this be played in winter, that question is, I think, smashed. And people might say, oh, but COVID threw off the algorithm or threw off the world. No. For me, that question is absolutely categorical. It is a summer sport. I will entertain not even the question. That's fantasy. So it was an expensive experiment to come to an answer to that question, but at least you've got it, most certainly. Yep. So that was a couple of things from this season. I thought, I got to hand it to Melbourne United. They recruited for depth. I think they were able to read the field and read the tea leaves just a wee bit better than the other teams. Also, they had the spend, so it's all kind of bullshit in the end anyway. But they read the season and went, yep, there's going to be delays. We're going to go a little bit younger. We're going to go more local. We're going to get a little bit, we're going to be a little bit longer than we are high. You know, we're going to get great talent.
I feel sorry for David Anderson because he went from sitting courtside drinking beer to sitting courtside having to drink Gatorade. For no apparent change.
He would have been boozing, right? Why would he bother? Why would he not just be sitting there with a hip flask or something? He didn't get in the game. Didn't play a minute. Did he get on the court?
There's some insurance for you.
Did he seriously not get on the court at all?
No.
Not even in the regular season towards the end?
Oh, I don't think he did. He might have played a minute or two.
I'm not so sure he did.
I saw him in Perth. I think he, in one of the last games in Perth, I think he got about 2 minutes of burn.
I'll put that in the detailed description, how many minutes he played. Game three. Let's talk about the actual game. What do you think?
It was a game very much like the other two, right? I mean, Melbourne came out firing, absolutely firing.
Golding. Wow.
That was a huge start. That was just a wave of emotion. But then Wildcats pegged them back, let the law of averages settle down and the shooting started to miss for Melbourne. Wildcats clawed their way back, got a lead. I don't think they'd done that before in games one and two. But then again, just that spread happened in the third quarter and just maybe the fourth this time. They couldn't go with them. But it's just a really interesting Melbourne just could always maintain that buffer.
Yeah. It was never in doubt for me. If you had to give 3-2-1, best on the ground, best on field.
For game three?
For game three.
Oh, I'd probably say Landale, 3 votes.
Okay.
Kevin White, 2 votes.
Yeah, sure.
Chris Golding, one vote.
I'm going to go a different way. I'm going to go Scotty Hobson, 3. And the reason why is that third quarter, that's when the Wildcats took a lead for the first time, I think, in the series of any consequence. Maybe they had leads early on in Perth when they kind of, won the tip or whatever. I can't recall. But when the game was decided. Perth had given their best, strong right hook. And if Melbourne had fallen rather than just staggered, they would have lost. And it was Scotty Hobson who scored in that moment. He had that amazing alley-oop finish off McCarron.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
He had a dunk on the break that was a bad turnover from, I want to say, Kevin White.
Yeah, it was.
And then he had that massive three to end the quarter. And they went from being down 3 or 5 to up six into the fourth. And I went, that guy just won this game. Otherwise, I doubt it would have gone to a game four, but had he not have been there and on the court at that moment and on the court to himself and played, yeah, they would have done. So I gave him three votes for that reason. The first quarter when Golding hit his shots were important and great played, but it wasn't like – that wasn't winning time. That was set the stage. Golding went missing quarters two through three.
He did.
And then came back alive a little bit in the fourth. And then Landau was pretty good. So I go Hobson three, Landau two, and then Golding one. But, gee, it's hard to separate Golding and Landau as much as
– No love for Kevin White. Gee.
No, he was on the losing team and he played well, but a couple of turnovers. And, gee, he hit, like, to his credit, I mean, if I'm going the Wildcats, best and fairest for the series end game. It's definitely Kevin White. I thought he was
incredible. Yeah.
Man, he was consistent. He was I can't believe what I saw. And he was hitting these shots and taking it at Jock Landau, forcing contact and going to the line, making the hope and the harm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tats off to Kevin White. You know, we've taken shots at him and I mean we forgive, but we don't forget, you know. Joey Wright was very, very nice to me. Kevin White hasn't done this podcast. He hasn't done shit for me. Sorry, Kevin White. That's what I have to say about Kevin White. And, but yeah, he was fantastic.
And what do you think about the grand final MVP?
I was a bit surprised. I'll ask you this question. Do you think it's most accurate if you're describing the best and fairest of this series that it went to Landau?
It's so hard because what is the criteria? But I think, I think overall it was going to be him or Golding. And from the first two games, I would have given it to Golding. But game three, Landau was just more of a presence throughout. He controlled that paint. He was up against Magne and Mooney and pretty much dominated most of that contest. Mooney had moments in this game three, but yes, not in the other
this
two.
This was his only above par game, I thought, for Mooney.
Yep. So, credit to him. He didn't give up. But still, Landau had the better of that matchup. And I just think he did enough this game to get over the top of Golding.
I certainly don't begrudge Landau getting it terribly. I kind of on Twitter I was like, "Huh? What?" And I needed a bit more of an explanation. But I actually would have given it to Golding now that even hearing your answer, because man, those two games in Perth without Chris Golding, without him, they're not even getting close. He was a savage over there. And when guys like Peatling and McDaniel were scared, when even a Landau struggled, Golding was consistently good through the season, through the series. And I would have given it to Golding just because I thought the consistency was there a little bit more. Landau was a bit invisible in game one, but I would have given it to Golding. Golding was like, he just punctured this team, the Wildcats, so often, just punctured them with those shots and did it early, did it late, went a bit missing at the end of game one. But I would have given it to Golding, but very, very slim margin.
Yeah. I've copped some heat for criticizing Landau on Twitter.
I think you called him a dickhead.
I did.
And he goes and calls himself a dickhead.
He called himself a dickhead. I was like, thank you, validation.
Is Jock Landau listening to this pod?
Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Who else is calling him a dickhead?
Nobody. He's Australia's precious commodity at this point.
There was a little bit of like, we'll give you finals MVP, come back. Yeah. There's an element of that to the decision for sure. I'll say this, aesthetically pleasing, as much as we're a podcast, we're Renaissance men. Was this aesthetically pleasing to you and to perhaps, if you can put your mind's eye into it, a non-fan of the sport?
The series, this not real. Not, nah, the game. Not really. Series. No, not really. This was very much on the, probably on the poor series of grand finals, I think we've seen. No real spectacular players to bust it open and get you some highlights. The good effort player, like Landau's points are impressive from his jump hooks and things are really technically impressive, but they're not highlight, they're Sports Center highlight worthy, are they? And it's just a grind. It was a slugfest and it was sort of the Wildcats trying to slow it down and take the air out of the ball. So I just think it was not a great series by any means. It sort of reminded me of the old Perth Wildcats New Zealand Breakers series we had. Cedric Jackson was running
around.
They
were unwatchable. Listen, I've got it written here. The game was tense.
Could you try again?
Oh.
Hello, Siri.
Hey.
I've got it written here. The game was tense. I don't think the series was tense. They were pretty close games all through, but visually unappealing with Golding, Travers, or Barber didn't have the ball. Landau, I like him, but he's sort of a gangly sort of player. And that shot he hit to win it, the fadeaway in the post over Kevin White.
Gee.
And Gleason's there screaming like, who's on? Why is Kevin White on Landau? That shot was like a turnaround. That wasn't like a poetry in motion, you know. That was
– no.
I think when Golding, Travers, Barber, and I'm going to show Hobson in there as well, when those guys didn't have the ball, McCarron a little bit actually did a few things that I really liked from a – you know, he no-look passes and a few things, but I was tentative to shoot it. But when those guys didn't have the ball, this game was not particularly attractive.
Yep. You know what else didn't make it attractive? This is not – I'm not saying
camera work. You're going to say camera work.
No, I wasn't actually.
I love the camera work.
The camera work is fine. I've got no complaints in game three about the camera work. I'm going to say the referees.
Oh,
now I'm not saying it changes the result of the game at all, but geez, they make some crappy calls.
Like, anyone in particular?
Oh, the one that stands out was the Blanchfield falling over, let's call it travel. Just because, why is that a travel? A couple of post moves where like just iffy calls. And it's like, why, what are you doing here? Are you trying to improve the quality of, you know, the viewing of the game? Are you trying to make it worse? Is it about you? I don't know. It just, the NBL needs to work on its refereeing so badly. If this
really?
Is the best crew we could get.
Yeah. I don't know.
Just maybe
because I was doing multiple things.
It seems like they lack feel for the game.
Yeah, they're a little bit I've often thought, I mean, I don't like referees at the best of time, but I do feel like in the NBL they run around, it's like a Benny Hill sketch, you know? Like they're the English Bobby and Chris Golding's the buxom blonde and it's like, oh, yeah, no running on the grass. Like it's very contrary a little bit and very sort of, you know, this is that and this is there, very controlling. So I'd agree with you on that one, but I didn't notice anything especially bad today. Maybe because the result was such a foregone conclusion, I wasn't really dissecting them terribly. But I mean, look at this. Like, I'm just looking at the stat box and Ude Barber, 24 minutes, 11 points. Like when that guy gets, he was just so much faster and quicker than everyone. And when he attacked the hoop, he got fouled 7 times. Fouls on. Oh, only 2. But gee, it felt like more. Joel Achul got benched bad. 11 minutes.
Yeah, he did.
-5 in the plus minus.
Yeah, he got exposed a little bit tonight. I think Magda
wasn't hitting the boards, so it was like,
had the better of him.
Wildcats had a chance, man. They did the rebounding. I mean, the end rebound, they grabbed 14 offensive rebounds, 50 rebounds in total to 4 and 35. Still couldn't get it done.
Yeah. Speaking of Will Magna, what do you make of the Will Magna experiment, if you want to call it that?
Look better. Can't deny it looked better, but, you know, 10 points, 5 rebounds, still only got the 24 minutes. I blocked Landau once that looked like, ooh, that's what we expected a little bit more often. But ultimately.
They have mid-season Jesse Wagstaff numbers. You know, like.
This is true. By the way, Jesse Wagstaff, yikes, 14 minutes looked really.
Games passed him by.
Games, you know, sometimes it passes you by. A little slow, little amble, and then sometimes you get to mid-season of a COVID-corrupted season and it just goes, phew. Yeah, if Jesse Wagstaff plays next year, I'll buy you a steak dinner. That's a promise.
All right.
If I'm ever allowed out of my home ever again. What else from this game? What is there to talk about? That's about it, really.
Yeah,
Peatling was good in this one. Jeepers,
he's going to be good. He's got a long body on him.
He's got big shoulders. He's a big looking guy. Like, I was critical of him in this series, and I still feel like he should have played second fiddle to Hobson and Barlow and Barber. But there's something there.
I tell you what, if they can keep that core, if they can keep Peatling, they get Jack White back. You know, you assume Landau moves on.
You'd say so.
You know, they've got a good core of young players come through. Mitch McCarron. Yeah, you know, maybe what did you say?
I disagree. But go on.
I was going to say maybe Dave Anderson stays around one more year.
Yeah, right. No, I think you like it. I think you take Land out of this team. I think it's a disaster.
Let me think on that.
I think take Landau out of this team. Golding doesn't get anywhere near. He gets, all of a sudden, he's getting more attention. Mitch McCarron's refusal to score is mystifying. I love Barber. No complaints there. Hobson looked out of sorts all year. Only played 16 minutes in this one.
Yeah.
And I felt the use of Hobson this year by United in this series as well was kind of cynical. When they got down, it was like, oh, shit, should we unleash him now? Should we let him be the best player on our team now? Yeah, okay, let him. Have the Australian guys had a – they've got enough of a leg up? Yeah, okay, put him. That's not going to be popular, but that third quarter was like, oh, shit, we're going down five. Quick, get him on, give him the ball. And I didn't like it.
Yeah, okay. Well, but think about it. Landau becomes an import, right? So you swap out Landau for an import. Maybe you keep Hobson and you elevate him up the pecking order. He actually becomes a starter. I think there's another season of potential championship winning.
Gee, I mean, if you're going to win by this slimmer margin to the Perth Wildcats, like, yeah, they'll be a top four contender for sure. But you bring Bryce Cotton back into the Wildcats and
that's
and
true.
A bit of good health. I don't think, without Landau, I don't think they're even close to competing.
I didn't want to be seen as a homer. Come on.
I'm happy to say it. I think a lot of people would think that.
So, yeah, for the Wildcats then, yeah, they would have.
Yeah.
This is the big question, right? Would they have won with a
healthy non-Cotton? Is that what you're asking me? If they'd won with a healthy, if let's say Norton was healthy, Blanche, Travers and Steindl were all healthy, but not Cotton.
Yeah, yeah. Let's take that perspective first, okay? So, yeah, so Cotton's out, but everybody else is good.
They split, at the minimum, they split the games in Perth.
Yep.
And then, you know, if they win both of those games in Perth, yeah, I think there was a case to, well, certainly not go down the way they did. But is the question, would they have won or could they have won?
No, well, could they? I don't know.
I mean, I said they would have won. I said they would have won 4-1. I think they would have won those two games at home, and then they would have had three shots at Melbourne, who were just keeping their guards up against the ropes, you know, just fucking just pound on that. And I think they would have got one through. So, I think with a healthy Wildcats, I think it would have happened. You saw the way they just constricted the game.
Yeah, I reckon the Wildcats would have got them. With that no Cotton but everybody else, I think the Wildcats would have prevailed probably in five.
I think it would have gone.
Look at Travers tonight, you know, injured leg. He came in while he was still sort of feeling good. He sort of faded a little bit. But
did indeed, yeah.
He started. They couldn't stop him.
Like, he looked unbelievable.
He just looked added that dimension. He was sort of the equivalent to Scott Hobson. You know, kind of,
I think he was more
everything.
The Barber. Because Barber, he was the one guy who was going to get it off the rim and push it foul line to foul line and cover that court faster than anyone else. And there were times where he just would beat his guy up the court and then you'd be like, well, I've come this. It was like Forrest Gump. Well, I've come this far, mate. We'll just keep going. And he'd go at the rack, and because he didn't have that explosion, he didn't finish. But I just thought, this kid's – when he had the ball, it was like, who's this kid? Why is he not in the NBA? Or why is he not?
Yeah.
Why is he not something more? Why haven't I heard of this kid?
Yeah,
I
just we've heard about Giddy and Mojave King all season.
This is the guy. I mean, his body was bigger and stronger than anyone else, and he's 10 years younger than the best. You know, I thought he was. Yeah, I thought he was a real change agent.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And then if you slot Bryce Cotton into this, it's
Melbourne fans aren't going to like to hear it, and it would have been a contest either way with Cotton and without him. It would have been a real slugfest. But I just thought, I'm not big on coaching. But gee, when it's good, it presents itself, you know? And I just felt Trevor Gleeson was absolutely dancing, a merry dance, around Dean Vickerman like crazy. Vickerman never worked out like, oh, the Barlow's a good player to play and Hobson's going to work and Illy and Patches and I got to force McCarron to actually attack the basket and be aggressive. I never thought he worked it out, but I mean, here they never worked it out. They won in three, but no. And Melbourne fans, I think Melbourne played really, really well, regardless.
Yeah, and Todd Blanchfield again proved that he's a good second or third banana, but he's not a guy you can build a team around.
No, it's when teams decide to shut him down, they can.
Yep,
and that causes him. Happy to move on from game three. We've got a couple of things to
congratulations, Melbourne. You're 2020-2021 NBL champions. Well done. Good job.
Yeah, and good. And you know what? You stayed that team, United, just stayed through the whole season. You know, teams went up, teams went down. They stayed with it. And Yeah, it's worth it. Yep. In a really weird season, it's commendable. Let's talk about the Kings' new coach.
Yeah.
Chase Buford. Is there a more American name out there?
Chase.
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 Buford.
If only he was a junior, that would probably
be okay.
That would be the ultimate hand, wouldn't it?
Good point. Good point. Chase Buford, anyway, coach out of Wisconsin, I want to say, in the G League, signed a 3-year deal. Yep. your reaction, I think you can tell mine's not positive. You go,
the Kings love their NBA connection.
Oh, do they ever?
He's come close. He's had an NBA logo somewhere on his body at some point in his lifetime. We'll take him.
We'll take it. Is that an American accent? Yeah, we'll take him. Are you surprised though? No, you're not surprised.
I'm not surprised. No, why would you hire a local who knows the league and is probably cheaper and easier to employ and all that kind of stuff when you can get a Yank?
I think there's also something else to play. Like, I do understand that they're like, you know, we want a young coach who's going to grow with a young list because they've already gotten rid of Newley. They're clearly going younger. Jordan Hunter, Vasiljevic. Who else is young on that team? That's about it. Which is an odd tact because going young in the NBL, like the NBL is not a team. There's not a draft.
Build.
You don't build a team. You sign a team and you coach. You know, it is a year to year operation.
Yep.
Unless for the exceedingly wealthy like Perth, who've got some stability to build.
But
continuity.
Not really. If you look at the roster turnover, there's a lot of change in that Perth team.
Well, look at Mooney. When you lose, a starter or two, I mean, this year coming in, they lost two starters, Martin and Mooney. That's a lot of turnover. That's two-fifths. And Tirico, so three.
Yeah,
so,
and Nick Kaye.
Nick Kaye. So four of the starters, essentially. You're very right. So odd strategies are we're going to have a young coach who can grow. It's just have you not looked at your product? Have you not looked at what's going on in front of your face?
Yeah.
So I find it actually frustrating at this point because, you know, if they say, well, we went with this guy because we want a young coach who's going to grow with the team. Well, you had a young coach who was going to grow with the team, who was actually really good as well and did a service to you and you
showed in the door.
Yeah. And you shook him with one hand, you stabbed him in the back with the other and kicked him in the – punched him in the stomach and kicked him up the arse out the door. And I just didn't like it. I thought Adam Ford made a few mistakes not playing Vasiljevic late in games, but he was a good coach and someone you grow with and seemed to be invested. And I'll ask you this. I've thrown around a lot of steak dinners already, but would you tag this bet? The loser buys the other a steak dinner if this guy sees out 3 years in Sydney. Would you want to be on the buy a steak dinner or the receiving of the steak dinner?
No, there's no way he's going to last 3 years. So whichever way that 3 years turns out.
Steak dinner for you. Have two steaks. No way he sees 3 years.
No way. It's it's not going to happen. Look at the most recent time this has happened. This is Connor Henry kind of deal. It's like, oh, let's sign him up for a long-term deal and then you get Connor Henry.
Oh.
I'm sure you've seen the Twitter video flying around of Buford doing his put this all over Twitter. You know, they're cheats and they're con artists or whatever.
I saw a bit of it.
You haven't seen nothing yet. Wait till you get the Europe Car NBL referees.
Yeah, I don't get it. And it's no offense to Chase. Never met him. Don't know what he's like. Could be a nice guy. Might not be. But, you know, do the pockets of fans or lack of fans here in Sydney, are they like, oh, Chase Buford?
Mm.
That when they hear his voice, are they going to be like, oh, this is okay, the Kings are, I'm going to get invested. It's just like we said it. It's, well, I'm going to use the podcast's favorite word, cuck. The Kings are cucks for that US mingle NBA schmooze. And it just doesn't. I think it is a fundamental misunderstanding of the NBL at its core. And how do you build longevity? I mean, Trevor Gleeson should be the prototype. Anyway, they've got to get that. Good luck to him.
So, but what's their squad going to be? Are they going to have Jarrell Martin will probably come back if they can get him?
Well, do they go with Jarrell Martin and Casper Ware again? I think they're going to go real young. I think they're going to think that, oh, no, we're going to have a youth movement, and then they're going to realize, oh, shit, no, the best imports are, you know, 29 years old, and to get a young import's a bit perilous, and, oh, dear. So, good luck to them.
I don't know. Free agency starts in 2 days. It starts
in less than 2 days. 36
get on that,
hours.
Sydney Kings.
Yeah, you're going to need it.
And you're also fighting with the Jack Jumpers for roster spots as well.
Yeah, good point. So. Very good point. What else have we got? Boddy? Boddy to the South Australia. We says Boddy, Notch, friend of the program, friend of ours, is into the South Australian Hall of Fame. We missed it on the last podcast, but we both said something on Twitter. So congratulations to Boddy.
Yes. Big congratulations.
Yep.
Amazing the timing, wasn't it? That I think he was on our show and then he got the nomination.
Well,
now, I don't want to draw too many conclusions, but, you know, maybe we just pushed it over the edge there. You know, maybe
we just lay it out for people. we just lay it out for people to play it out. We don't do anything. But I will say, as much as, you know, congratulations to Boddy, fantastic. Keep writing, of course. But secondly, Basketball Australia, if I can just give you a little bit of a tap on the shoulder. You know, Boddy's written for pretty much every publication, both in South Australia and nationally. Covered the league for 40 years, men's and women's.
Yeah.
I think it would be fitting if he was in the Basketball Australia Hall of Fame.
Yep.
This is a good step, South Australia.
I think so.
Great effort. Next logical step would be BA.
Exactly.
Man, Andrew, unless you've got an agenda, I think we're done.
Seems so quick.
Mm. Let's talk about next season. Let's just talk about that quickly. And actually, this podcast and next season within it.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, the turnaround is so quick. I'd be lying if I said I'm sitting here super energized to go again. Yeah, this podcast has its rewards, certainly. But I'll be honest with people, the listens, I know how many avid fans the NBL has from this podcast, I can tell. And yep. This season, I've seen the numbers of this podcast go predictably down, you know, about 25 to 50%. That growth that I saw from my half of that first season into the second, and there was a sizable growth, has been halved for sure. So it's
probably me. He's like, oh, this guy's not a guest. He keeps returning.
No, but you were there last season for the you were there for the success.
Okay, right.
Oof, so no. You're saying no. It's a genuine lack of interest during the winter season and maybe COVID as well. So when Kesselman was up there chatting, I could certainly sympathise and certainly identify with him.
Yep. So what are you saying? Are we carrying on the NBL podcast into the next season?
I'll say this. I'm looking forward to the break. There will be a lengthy break.
Yep.
There will be I don't know when the season starts, but we'll probably just start with a preview a couple of days out from the start of the season and go from there. But, big interviews, like when you get guests before, listens be up in the sort of low thousands.
Yep.
Now that doesn't happen.
Right.
You get a guest on, it sits around the sort of 500, 650, 700 tops. So, and I think most podcasts would do that. But most NBL media would sit around that. So, be very interesting to see how this next season is going to go from a profit margin standpoint, from a fan interest standpoint.
It's a very short gap between it all starting up again.
Yeah,
do
I want to ask
you
that.
People have the budget to spend on tickets all over again.
Well, do the teams have the budget to all of a sudden just reload the gun and fire some shots? I mean,
yep.
Brisbane are obviously strapped for cash with what they did to Magne, and you know the Kings weren't exactly flapping around cash like they were that first year. Melbourne United have just paid big on Landau and won a championship. Are they going to take a breath out? Hutchie's just split himself over two pies. Is he going to take a breath out and go, oh, I've got my United championship. Oh, let's take a year off. Could be interesting. Could be very interesting.
It will be. Look, if the NBL, right, they need to short gap between seasons, they need to spark interest. Do you know what will spark interest?
What's that?
Elam ending.
I just totally agree. And I think Nick Elam is like us now. He's starting to get frustrated. If you've seen his tweets, he's like, Canadian Basketball League starting up.
Yep.
It's better than, I don't know what he said, but it was very snarky. And rightfully so. He's like, yeah, there's a league going out on a limb and fixing basketball's biggest problem. And we love it. We love Nick. We love the ending. Totally. I think brand new product.
The other thing as well. Let's push it. Like, what's the worst that can happen? They do it for a season and everybody says, oh, that was crap. And you roll it back. Who cares?
Like, who cares?
Come on, take some risks.
My thing here is, are we entering what, year 42 of this NBL experiment or 43?
43, I think it'll be.
We're entering the 43rd year of the league. Now, that's both long and short. You've put up against the AFL, it's very short. You put up against sort of the average lifespan, we're halfway there. This is a 43-year experiment. where's the growth? I think over the last 20 years, the growth, there was a spark with Kesselman. Those last 2-3 years have been exciting.
Yep.
But on the whole, this 43-year experiment, if you had to grade it, would be close to an F. It's not on TV. It's not, you know, reaching out. I've seen the numbers. The avid fans come and go with – it's still a convenience item.
Yeah.
It's not ingrained. So, you know, where it goes next year.
And, yeah, I just want to say the Eli Manning is not a gimmick. Like, it is a legitimate way to end a game of basketball that's just more entertaining. And totally. Why is there a problem with that? And what, it doesn't corrupt a game. It doesn't ruin it in any way. It makes it more fun, and it still validates a fair ending. So, come on.
I agree. So, do you think the shorter time frame will be good or bad? Because the lengthy offseason is almost, what's worse, like a huge offseason that we're used to, where it's just like teams just totally disappear off the scene.
Yeah.
Or this short one. I kind of am leaning towards this season was so fatigue-inducing that it's actually going to be bad.
I'm sort of trending the same way as well, that it's just people are just sick of the sport at the moment. And how do you regenerate interest? It's like, all right, we're here for a new season, and like, didn't Melbourne just win? Like, why are we doing this again?
And I totally get it, they have to realign to that time of year. I totally get that. But and if you go, well, I'll ask you this then, what do you think would have been better or worse, starting up in 2 or 3 months time, however long they how short that break is, or pushing it all the way back to the original start time, what I mean, and going away for like 9 months or whatever it would be.
I don't know at 9 months, but it would have been good if they could have started it in maybe November and compressed it, done a compressed season that maybe is 3 or 4 months, if that, and kind of you're done. Maybe that, I don't know, just it's just spitballing.
I will say this. I don't know the solution, but I certainly know the problem. This feels really prompt and quick, and I'm a little bit fatigued.
Yeah. Look, the only thing that might save it is if the Boomers go away and they medal, and they get people excited again, and then you can leverage off that.
By the way, Ryan Brokhoff and Isaac Humphries have withdrawn from the Boomers team. Yeah. Not quite the fanfare that Simmons's retraction got.
No.
But
and people are very polite about Ryan Brokhoff, which is good because he sort of talks about his mental health issues, and I'm certainly not going to criticize that. But
no, neither.
Fair enough, and good on him for coming out and saying that. But gee, the politeness of Ryan Brokhoff, mental health, okay, good, well spoken. Ben Simmons is like, I'm a bit worried. Yeah, it doesn't really say much, but you can read between the lines.
Yeah,
bit of mental health issue going on there, and it's like, you're not a real Australian, but like,
yeah, I think
look in the mirror, people.
Absolutely.
You know, and Ryan Brokhoff looks like you and me and many other Australians, and Ben Simmons doesn't. Is there something there?
You know, and I think Ben Simmons is an odd place, and Jonah Bolden as well. And people say, the Boomers team is accepting of colour, and you got Paddy Mills. Well, it's not really the same thing. You know, Paddy Mills is Indigenous Australian. Yep. That's very separate to being half Australian, half African American, you know, when so much of that culture now is bound up in real turmoil, real distress, your angst as well.
Yep.
And, you know, I can only sympathise with those two guys, and I try and do a little bit more listening than talking because I think those two would have been up against it. I did notice the great discrepancy between that withdrawal and Simmons's. We respect both very equally in different ways. So,
yeah, and look, I think, you know, in terms of the actual team, I think Brokhoff being out probably isn't a huge hit anyway because he didn't seem to be playing very well. You know, whether that was a mental health issue or not, I don't know. But
I think it was just a body issue. He looked
just
hurt.
His form wasn't there. So, you know, you say based on form, you wouldn't have him anyway. Humphrey's probably bigger hit because he was a good big body.
Can't back up. I'm out. I think he would have been great on the team flight, you know, like how many bottles of beer on the wall? Singing the tunes and so she's great on the organ, but no, I don't think he would have made the team. But I'm worried about the lack of shooting on this on the Boomers team.
Yeah.
You know, you lost a sort of big rangy wing. Yeah, got a lot of defenders. Got Thibault, got this. Who's going to put the ball in the hole?
Chris Goulding.
Well, he's in. He definitely makes. I think he even made it before.
But, yeah, he's definitely in now. Oh, I hope fantastic. He carries this form over as well.
Yeah, totally. All right. All right. I think we're done.
That's another 10 minutes of waffle since we said we were going to finish.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Man. Typical. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I think we'll probably do a wrap-up. We'll try and get Boddy in or something like that and have a bit of fun with it when we're more cheery and it's not late, so late at night.
Yep. Let us know what you think. Send us feedback at NBL Pocket Pod, at Andrew Canyon. Nobody can ever spell it, but it's A-N-D-R-E-W-C-A-N-I-O-N.
Canyon.
There you go.
I'd call him Andrew Nabla, which is Irish for canyon. Different spelling, I said canyon, because Beale Nabla. Oh, Beale is Canyon of the Roses. So
because it wasn't canyon. Confusing enough already. Thanks for that.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, everyone. Great season, somewhat. Take it easy. Thanks for listening.
Bye.